Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we ask ourselves if it's worth the fight.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. And folks, I'm your host, the man with the mic. Tonight on the conversation, let me see here. Cory Booker has come out supporting the anti-Semitic remarks. You know, the, hey, she hates Jewish people. He's come out in support of her. Omar saying that. Congresswoman Omar. Scary. Well, what's even more scary is when you lose the support of CNN, like Bernie Sanders has, when he wants rapists and everyone to vote, child molesters, killers, whatever. I'll get into that. Wow, it's just scary. There is a migrant from Morocco who stabs a Catholic after noticing a crucifix necklace. She's from Italy, is an Italian Catholic. And guess what? He stabbed her, and that's coming here because we got to be tolerant of all these people that don't like our religion. I'll get into that. I want to get into a story of a lady, old lady eating by herself a day before the end, would have been her 60th anniversary with her husband, and these three guys come in and swoop her up and take and sit and eat with her, and it's gone viral. It's great. I want to get into what a single socialist is not a liar. You know, all socialists are liars, and how one immigrant from Venezuela said that America is a turning point. Jose Vargas, because he's like, hey, if we lose America to socialism, there's no place to go to. I want to get into that. I also want to get into a little thing called updates on transfers with Manchester United and the Premier League and all that stuff. So welcome to the conversation. I hope you all feel a part of, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Think about that as you're going through your day today, and I want to thank you so much for tuning into the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. I really hope you do. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. And it's just, I mean, some of the stuff that we want to get into, you can't make up. You cannot. I mean, it's just crazy. When you have a Democratic candidate standing up for a Muslim who is basically anti-Semitic, that hates Jews, hates Jewish people. I want to get into this very firstly because this is going to affect a lot of what I talk about. Because a Moroccan immigrant who is illegal was arrested in Rome after a heated argument on religion escalated into violence with a migrant allegedly stabbing an Italian Catholic after noticing his crucifix necklace. Okay? That's because we're having these countries where we have to be tolerant of people who hate our religion, who hate us. And, oh, we can't, how dare we condemn Islam. But, oh, they can condemn us and go off on us and stab us and go ballistic on us. And, you know, oh, we have prayer rooms, don't worry. We have prayer rooms. No, they're not prayer rooms. It's not a Christian prayer room. It's basically these Muslims needed a place to pray to Mecca every day, four times or five times a day. And guess what? Since they needed that, they had to give it to them. And since I can say, hey, wait a minute, if Muslims have a place to pray, where's my place as a Catholic or Christian or Baptist or Methodist or whatever, where's our place to pray? So they would have to let us pray there as well. Or else there'd be a maybe huge lawsuit. And guess what? Oh, it's inclusive of everyone. No, it's not, because if I tried to put that prayer room in as a Christian / Catholic / whatever, you wouldn't allow it. Because separation of church and state, but since Muslims demanded it, it came in. Because we got to be tolerant of these people, but they stab us and kill us and want to slit our throats. Remember on the Glenn Beck program on The Blaze, like 7 years ago, where they showed video of these kids that are, you know, our kids are being taught tolerance of Muslims, and they're sitting there showing videos of them. You know, you grab the hair like this, you pull it back, you take the knife, you slit the throat. They're showing them shooting AR-15s and handguns and shot how to kill, and you want to go right here, sweet, you know. We're taught tolerance, and they're taught this is how you kill people that are not in our belief system. We got to wake up, folks. Christians, there are bad Christians, there are good Muslims, and there are a lot of extremists. You call a spade like Trump is. If they're an Islamic extremist, you need to call it that. If they're not, they're not. But you have Cory Booker that's standing with Omar, the Congresswoman Omar, and her anti-Semitic remarks. And how dare we condemn her because of Islamophobia? Oh, so we're Islamophobes because she's preaching hatred against a religion. I want to see a Republican make that same kind of statement about a Muslim. I say, what's the? I'd be like, well, what's the difference? She's talking about, she's going off on Jews. I mean, just because they put a parking meter on the roof, and that's why Santa Claus doesn't come at Christmas, I mean, come on. That's actually, I have a friend she goes, that's what her parents always told her. That's why Santa Claus never comes to the house on Christmas, because they put a parking meter on the roof. But that's my point. If a conservative was to have said that about a Muslim or a Jew, how dare he have those anti-Semitic remarks against the Jewish people are great people. Oh, wow, because when Benjamin Netanyahu came here to speak under Barack Obama, some of you turned back. Some of you people turned your back. Because you have people like, I don't know, breaking laws in this country. You know, these people that are, I don't know, maybe going to Iran and doing negotiations behind our back. Very interesting, isn't it? When you have people that do that. When you have people that break the Logan Act. Oh, that's fine. You know, we gotta be buddy buddy with Iran, because they're our friend. Iran's our friend. They love us. No. Israel has our back. Benjamin Netanyahu has our back. You know, but you have a conservative say something anti-Semitic or Islamophobic, and how dare you? How dare you? But you know, a Democrat says it, and it's like, great. I support her. I endorse her. Got my back. It's crazy. When we had this stuff that happened in Virginia, where you had these, like these, all this fighting with these white supremacists and neo-Nazis and KKKs and all this stuff, and because there's a new ad with Joe Biden, and Trump said that there's people on both sides of the aisle that are great. like a lot of these KKK. And if you really look into what he actually said, you know, that he condones those actions, it makes me sick because you have these liberals that will, well, this is what Trump said, and they'll make it up. Do you know why? Because it doesn't. These kids are not going to research. If Biden said Trump wants to euthanize all black people, guess what? The kids that watch The Daily Show are going to be like, oh, how dare that bigot. They're not going to look it up. They're not going to research it. They're not going to find out what he really said, what really went on. Because they don't care. Oh, he's a bigot. Oh, yeah, Trump. Yeah, I know he's racist. Yeah, okay. That's why he gave a bunch of his own money from his own company to help blacks with scholarships. There's tons of photos of him with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and giving money for scholarships, and he was loved by everyone. As soon as he becomes president and runs as a Democrat, all of a sudden, he's evil. They're attacking him, his character, and lying because, well, let me see here. I mean, there is a group of people, I will say this, that, yeah, the economy is doing great, the unemployment, but still, it's hard to make ends meet. It is hard to make ends meet. Who in the hell is talking about, I want to see gold and silver back in our currency? I metal detect for one reason, to try to fight old coins. I'm going to give away a little secret. If you look at this, there are tons of videos where people take $2,000 and $3,000 and they buy silver dollars, like whole boxes of them. Not silver dollars, just dollar coins or 50-cent coins, and coin roll hunt to try to find the silver-containing ones, because it can make a lot of money because of the melt value of them.
But yet you said it's illegal to melt. So what?
Because, okay, well, go to Atmex and try to buy a silver-containing, like a piece silver dollar. You're going to spend $20 on each of them because that's what they go for. And if they're in mint condition, that's what they sell for. I mean,
okay,
if you could melt them down, technically you can melt them down as long as you don't get in trouble. I mean, I can smoke crack cocaine. It's legal as long as I don't get caught.
Then it's illegal.
Yeah, then it's illegal. Just like running red light. You can run red lights all day long.
We have the divorce thing, too, because we don't do cars. We might do other things, but we don't.
I do Pepsi. It's better.
I do cherry
coke. But anyways, I actually do burners. But that's the problem we have in this country. This whole double standard, you know? Why can't people say, hey, the economy's doing better? Why don't we have someone say, yes, the economy's doing better and this and that, but I want to work on strengthening the dollar. I want you to be able to go to Subway and have a $3 footlong. That's what I want to see. I want to see 5 roast beef sandwiches for $4. And, you know, go to a gas station. You have to pay for air. You know why you have to pay for air? Because of inflation. I remember when it was free.
Yep.
I mean, there's still a couple gas stations where the guys will do it and they give it for free and all that stuff. But most, you have to put in like $1 or something and you get like 5 minutes of the compressor working. It's sad. I mean, most people need 2 and 3 incomes just to survive. And everyone thinks that a college degree is the key to everything. Get in the food service industry. Kitchens are dying for people. But most people don't want to have that. They want to have a luxury that they come in at this time and they leave at this time. They don't want to work. Okay, like I was supposed to be off Monday. They switched the schedule at the last minute and I worked all Monday. I'm getting one day off this week and like one day next week. And every place is hurting for people. I mean, it's hard because there's so many things I'd love to do, but it's hard to do that knowing, I mean, because you work so much to provide. But that's the thing. This country is doing so great. You have a lot of people on the left that are waking up. I mean, even Cher is kind of like, okay, yeah, and I think some of these celebrities, not the older celebrities, are a JFK Democrat. Ask what you can do for your country, not the other way around. And they're like, okay, you want to have child molesters and felons vote? I don't think so. I mean, when you have Joe Biden,
Uncle Joe,
guess what? This is what Trump said.
But yeah, go on.
But when you have, you know, people, they're not going to do the research to find out what Trump really said. They're not going to do that. That's why Uncle Joe said what he said. When you have BS, when the guy that's full of it, when he's like, oh, well, I think the Boston Bomber should be able to vote. Because if you don't let him vote, then it's voting's your right. Yeah, and the government will take it away. See, the government don't want you to have a gun. They don't want you to have a gun. Well, they want the illusion of a gun by, we're just going to have a background check. Well, oops, this guy over here is a felon, somehow made it through the background check and still got a gun. So now let's tighten the law even further. And then when a guy that's a criminal has a gun, okay, and before you know it, they take your complete gun control and they own it and they take it and you can't own a gun, period. And that's a big issue. Because, you know, people don't see past that. You know, all these people, you can have a guy down a fifth of vodka. No one's going to say, we need to ban alcohol. But if he's got some dab and he's doing a cannabis concentrate, look at that. He's getting messed up, man. That needs to be illegal. We need to ban that stuff because that stuff's dangerous. That stuff's deadly. Well, wait a minute here. You're not going to say you need to ban alcohol when people are abusing it, but when people are abusing pot, oh, it's dangerous. It's deadly. And it's a little bit early for me to talk about this, but I'll go ahead and get into it because there's Eric Holcomb is our governor in this great state of Indiana, and I can't stand him. Like I couldn't stand my man Mitch. But he has a bill on his desk that is going to regulate hemp so we can actually legally grow it and all this stuff. But you're going to have permits, and every 2 years you're going to have this group that's going to make sure that you're growing hemp and that there's very little to no THC in it and all this stuff. And what you're going to find when you read the fine print of that bill is I use CBD flower for medication. You can grind it up into flour and make like pancakes to eat to help sleep and help with pain. That is going to be illegal. And it's going to be, if you get busted, it's going to be a misdemeanor. I don't know what the, now I don't know if anyone out there is an attorney can let me know this because it's federally legal by the federal government has legalized the use of it through this farm bill. And I would assume since if you're in Colorado, you can still get arrested with pot because it's federally illegal. Because the federal would trump the state. So I would assume the federal would trump the state because it is nationally legal. Unless the farm bill states that it's up to a state by state, and if they say, hey, we're not going to allow it, I don't know.
They just need to get off their high horse and legalize
it. Yeah, I know. They need to. But the thing that scares me about legalization is if it is legalized, you're going to have, look at Marlboro. Philip Morris has already pumped millions into it because I have a feeling that they're going to push to get it legal because then they're going to take it over because tobacco is on its way out.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have like one or two strains, maybe that, you know. Because, I mean, it's like in Ohio, they were going to legalize it, and they didn't because it was going to be monopolized. They were going to have like one or two or three people that were going to control the growing of it. And you won't be able to grow it yourself. There's, you know, I want it to be, until the plant is free, no one's free. Because it's a plant. We're not taking it, and all we're doing, and if it's a concentrate, we're just extracting the, like you get like an essential oil. That's all you're doing. It's not like you're taking, you know, ether alcohol and cannabis and Drano and bleach and cooking it down and making some addictive substance. You're just taking a plant that they have known for thousands of years and that they've studied in the University of Mississippi since 1964, more studied than Tylenol and Advil combined, that it shrinks tumors, its anti-inflammatory property, it's incredible. And I think they're looking at a way to try to get Big Pharma in there. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons and tons of varieties. And you can sit there and get really chemical with it and say, okay, yeah, I'm feeling nauseous. Let me get some Girl Scout cookie. I need a little bit of, and you can mix. Okay, but let me get some of this really high CBD in there so that if I do feel the effects of it like a high, this will cut the effects. So I'm not going woohoo. And stuff they've known, but they, you know, pharmaceutical companies will lose millions. And it's all about profits. I want to thank you for tuning in, folks. I got about 37 minutes left in the program. And just an FYI, if you're listening on Facebook, I don't know who's on there. So if you hit the like button or whatever, one of those, love, like, whatever, it don't matter, sad, whatever you're feeling, just want to know you're there. You can do that. I do have a weekly conversation. It's the Kyle's Conversations, what it used to be called, Facebook page. You can be a friend on there. Somewhere on there, I do have a donation button. If you want to donate and help out the conversation, keep it going, because I do 100% of this out of my own heart and everything. So you can donate so I can get some better equipment or whatever down the road. But, you know, you need to come together and wake up to the bullcrap, because Trump is showing us how useless his government is. And I feel like they're slowly integrating this cannabis in, because okay, if they all of a sudden say, if it gets legal, wait a minute here. If it's all of a sudden legal, what was so bad that it wasn't legal 10 years ago, 21, you know? There's a video out there, if you ever get a chance, watch it. It's from like 94 or 95, it's hemp helping educate mass people. And it back then, 1 acre of hemp produces as much paper as 4 acres of trees. Pound for pound, there's more ethanol. Pound for pound, there's more ethanol out of hemp than any other substance. If you make Band-Aids out of it, it's antimicrobial. You don't need to have like antimicrobial stuff on it. It's incredible. Stuff that people don't talk about. People don't, because and we're starting to break the mold, because even my mom is sort of like, well, there's a lady who's talking about CBD and all that stuff, and I've been trying to get my mom to try it for a long time, but she's stereotyped. You know, look at all these side effects of prescription drugs, and no one says, I'd be careful taking that prescription. No, it's pharmaceutical, it's okay, but I'd be worried about trying cannabis. You know, we got so many people that are like so paranoid because of how they've been brainwashed. It's like these Democrats, they're brainwashed. I mean, I can understand if a Democrat says, well, I support Joe Biden, and I looked up what Trump said, and wait, no, he didn't say that. They know that they're not going to do the research. They know they're not going to, they're just robots that just like, That's what's when you see these people that go to the rallies, what are you? Oh, I'm against this. And then when you sit and talk to them, and they're not there. Oh, I said, wait a minute. Yeah, you're telling me now you're supporting the exact opposite of what you're rallying here for. And it's like they don't know. They're just like, here's $2,500 George Soros paid me, and I'm gonna go march. What do we march today? And I love how Trump is flipping everything on him. And I think people are starting to see that, wait a minute here, 2 weeks ago, And I think that's starting to wake a lot of people up. Because it's not like it's like 4 years ago they said this. It's like 2 weeks ago they said that. And now they're...
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. I mean, because when you have someone like Bernie Sanders that loses support of CNN, they don't get it. That's scary because CNN is BS to begin with. Yeah, CNN is Bernie Sanders' father. Because they're all full of BS. But this is hilarious. This is even more scary. This is hilarious. Twitter will let users report posts that they feel mislead voters. I don't know if you heard about this one.
Really?
Yeah. So let me get this straight. So let me get this straight. So if Twitter will let users report posts that they feel mislead voters, can I report CNN's Twitter page? Can I report MSNBC's Twitter, their whole page?
Yeah.
Because they mislead voters, their whole thing. ABC, NBC, CNN.
You know, mysteriously enough, I didn't get any comment of a happy Easter when I wished have AOC and other two Muslim senators happy Easter, and I told them Jesus loves them. You know, I didn't hear any comments back. I'm deeply hurt and offended. They should have at least said back at you or something.
Yeah, they should have said like, yeah,
but,
I know. But that's going to be funny because now I know this, I'm going to be reporting CNN, all that stuff. Yeah, they're misleading. Because they were talking about, there was one post, I'm going to see if I can find it on my thing real quickly, let me see here. I had a bunch of people comment, going back and forth on my lunch break. Where was this? Let me see here. One second, folks. But it was on Breitbart. I know that. Oh, it was about, you know, about like this father, his son, you know, died of drugs. And I'm like, you know, I feel the guy's pain, but it makes all this opioid crackdown makes it harder for people, like legitimate people. I know people who've given up getting pain meds because it's a pain in the butt. Because, like, you have to go every 3 months. I was the only person that hadn't increased my dosage at the pain clinic in 5 years. And I had to go from being seen every 6 months to being seen every 3 months. You had to have the script pad. Every month you had to pick up a script pad. I have a buddy of mine that's on stuff, and the insurance went, and they said, okay, we will only pay for a 7-day script, because if you're not going to use it, then you don't get 7 days, you only get 7 days worth. And he goes, I need this for, and he goes, he had to pay out of pocket. And when you have all these restrictions, and okay, you're drug tested all the time to make sure it's in your system. All these things. You have restrictions on how much you can get. And it's just, it's making it to where it's hard and hard for legitimate people to want to take the meds and want to be on it. And then that's why I stopped being at a clinic and I stopped doing it. And I actually said one time, oh, see, I can't use medical cannabis, but I can get morphine. That makes a lot of sense. Not enough to get a dollar, but I don't know. Now, because like I was reading this article, you know, about how this new Senate bill will legalize marijuana nationwide and raise possession charges. But then it's like, well, this farm bill legalized hemp, but in Indiana, this bill. Oh, it's going to be so. What I'm probably going to have to do is find, there's a couple places online and get me an ounce and have it sent to me so I got a stockpile. Because it's not, it's like the payments. I don't, it's not an everyday thing I need them. Therefore, it's like, and what stinks is, like with the pain, okay, well, I would take SD. Okay, as needed. And what that means is, okay, well, I'd probably have to take a pill every appointment, whether I need it or not, just so it shows up on my test. Because if you take it as needed and you don't need it for 3 or 4 days, or if I go 2 days without needing it, guess what, folks? I don't need it. And then when it doesn't show up in your test, when you take a piss test, guess what? Yeah, then you get flagged for not using it, so you get dropped from the clinic. So wait a minute, because I have a friend that had that. She goes, wait a minute, it says as needed. The 2 days before this appointment, I didn't need any of the meds, so I didn't use them. I'm taking it as you prescribed it for me. Now you're flagging me for not using it when I'm taking it as prescribed, as needed. And that's a big issue. That's what's going on in this world. Because I've had this, I've sat at the pain clinic for like 3 hours one time because I couldn't leave until I pissed. And I'm like trying to drink water like crazy because I wasn't even thirsty. So I got to the point where I didn't care if I wet myself. I am going to the bath. I'm not going until I get there. But there's all this stuff that's going on. You know, but it's just this crazy world we live in, folks. And I just hope that some of these Senate bills come forth and say, hey, it's going to be legal. Because I know it's legal in Michigan, but I don't think until they have dispensaries opened up can you even get it. But then, like, even in Colorado, you can't use it here, can't use it there, can't do this, can't. And there's so many stipulations with it that it's crazy. But it's just one of those things. And so many people don't get it because I think people are starting to wake up that, wait a minute, the government's useless. Trump's proven that. Hey, that look at all this, because that's why I see a lot of states seeing, look at how much revenue Colorado's making. Because, sorry folks, but all those people in line on the first day of recreational marijuana sales, they were already smoking, let me tell you. They're just finally doing it legal. But you also have the issue of Canada, where the black market, it's way cheaper and people are going there. You have some dude that's like, you know, that's right. And they're taking pride in it because they're going like 3 or 4 plants. That's it. And they're making sure they're perfect because their reputation's on the line. And it's the best. There you go. Welcome back to all my Blog Talk viewers. Thank you so much for tuning in. Some reason it disconnected me. I have no idea because everything's connected. I have no idea, but I want to thank you so much. I was never off on Facebook Live, so you're all cool. But just a quick reconnect. But it's just, I don't know. Something's got to give. And I think when Colorado's making all this money, all these other places are like, hey, I'm cashing in. Let's do it. Look, at they're seeing through all the BS. And I think a lot of people are waking up in this country. And rightly so, and they need to. Remember, it's your country. That program to help needy kids in school, it's your money. Think of America as a church. Well, if you want to help those kids with that program, it's called your money. It's coming out in taxes. All that, you know, everything you do in this country, everything is a government, is government run. It's your government. You're paying for it. So if you want to have free health care, free education, free college, free everything, you're paying for it. I mean, I've always wanted to open up like a dispensary. But how can I do that when it's never been legal? Now there's the potential to do it, and I might do it someday, and it, you know, to help people. Okay, have like a meditation room. This way you can go, you can pray, do whatever, do the rosary, whatever you want to do. Over here we got a guy that comes in that does acupuncture, he does massages, chiropractic work, you know, we got medicine here. Ice Mountain, it's amazing. Rub, this is Blue Emu. We have all different types of medicines, you know, creams and stuff that help. Cannabis and beyond. We got CBD rubs. We got heat rubs. We got liquid blue. All kinds of different, you know, and have it be a wellness place. Okay, if you just want to come here and just relax, come here. If you're a kid and you feel like someone's following you, it'll be a safe place. I love this country because it's not perfect. Never has been. But hundreds and hundreds of white people died to save black people. And freed the slaves. They died to do that. It's an amazing country, and I don't want to see it go to the wayside. And it's just crazy because everyone wants to be the next Donald Trump on the left, and I think they're just going to beat themselves to death because everyone's going to want that nomination. It's going to be like the Republicans. It's going to be like 20 Democrats, and they're all going to fight, and they're all going to go after each other, and, you know. Yeah, this country's going in a great direction, but you got to do something about, I mean, inflation is what's killing us. The dollar is getting so devalued and so devalued. I mean, you got to think of it like an inflating balloon. Eventually, if you keep blowing air into it, it's going to break, you know. Eventually, we keep spending and spending and spending, it's always going to become, wow. But when you have people from Venezuela that come here, hey, if America becomes socialist, bye-bye, it's done. Game, set, match. Game, set, match. There's no place to go. You know, we're not great, but we're better than many of the other countries. Got about 20 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for tuning in to Block Talk Radio, and thank you for bearing with me. I've had a little technical difficulty, somehow I got disconnected. I don't know. It's just crazy. But it's crazy when you have the worst news network, the Clinton News Network, you know, that takes like four channels, have more viewers than CNN does. And guess what? They don't even support Bernie Sanders. And now he's backing his claim that the GOP want to suppress voters. Sure we do. If the victim you kill can't vote, you shouldn't be able to vote either. If you're illegal, you shouldn't be able to vote, period. Okay, show me Bernie Sanders how... So you think Bernie Sanders, I should be able to go to Mexico and vote, or go to France and just vote in their election? Even though I'm not a citizen, I don't support their economy.
Right. Question. Once a person is convicted What do you think about once a person serves their time? Because then they'd be allowed. They paid their debt. Legally, they're fine. What do you think about them voting?
I believe that there are rules in place that if you do this or this, and you give up your right to... I mean, if you just rob...
What if you can amend and change those rules?
Well, like, if you rob a convenience store and you go to jail for a year and you lose your right to vote, period, like, Dog the Bounty Hunter can't vote. He can be politically active, but he cannot legally vote. He's lost that right. Someone like him probably should get...
And he's also lost the right to carry a gun.
Yeah.
And he doesn't break that right.
No. But, I mean, it depends. If you're talking like
Why
someone...
Do you think that should be changed?
Well, if you're talking like Charles Manson, let's say, that kills 50 people...
He's never getting out.
Yeah, but let's say he could. Let's say he could get out. Let's say he could get out. He serves his time and they let him get out on parole. Do you think because he served his time he should? I don't think so. Right on. I might have to do that just for him. Okay, this is, I'm going to get into this right now because people are talking about things. Hi, Watha, I think you're listening. My wife said you are, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in. One of the things you need to learn is I'm going to teach some of you right now how to cut hair, because you got to have the right pair of clippers, because when you cut hair properly, you know, because, I mean, back in the day, you didn't have a barbershop, man, you did it yourself. I mean, you didn't go to a barbershop and spend $70 on a straight razor shave, you had a straight blade and you did it yourself, you know, you got to take your clippers and you got to make sure you get that fade just right. You know, and go around the scalp like that. And this isn't even the Flowbee. Remember that vacuum hair cutting system? That sucked. But my point is, I had to do that. But my point is, there was a lot of things we used to do for ourselves. And now it's like, you mean I have to do this? I have, you know, we have this country that no one does anything for themselves anymore. A lot of these things, you know, like these kids... Oh, they can't do stuff for themselves anymore. It's sad. You know, they don't want to do anything. They just want to, like, oh, why isn't stuff just given to me, handed out to me? There's no shame in owning a pair of clippers and learning how to cut, man. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in barbershops are great, man. That's where you go, and there's Checker Fred over there. And what's up, man? You know, and you talk about stuff. You know, there came a time when you could go in the coffee shop and talk about what's going on in the world. And people didn't care. People like, now people get their panties in a wad because, well, you offended me. This is my America. Alabama men invite elderly women eating alone to dine with them. Jamaro Howard and his friends added a special guest to their table while eating at Brad's Barbecue in Oxford, Alabama last week. So tonight, Jim McCall Baker, Ty Knight, and myself went out to eat at this place called Brad's in Oxford. And after us sitting there a while, waiting on our food, we noticed an elderly woman sitting alone. Howard wrote in a Facebook post on Thursday, because these are three black guys and this old white lady. And this elderly woman was talking about how, like, she basically was very close to her. Tomorrow would have been her 60th anniversary with her husband that she lost. And they said, why don't you join us? And they sat down with her. And they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to, like, what's up, man? But that's what they did, man. They gave them the heart, man. They're like, sit down with us. Like, what's going on? What you doing? And it's the American man. That's my America. Talk to our elderly. Find out their stories. You know, I didn't get to talk to my grandma that much because she lived in Pennsylvania. But man. Every time I did, I just wanted to, like, Grandma, like, what's going on? Like, man, I just wanted to hear stories from the old days. Like, when you were ashamed to speak anything but English outside, you only spoke your native tongue in the house. And I know people that, like, that is so out there because you were ashamed because you were an American. You wanted to know English. You wanted to speak English. You were, give me this flag. I want to carry it with pride. I want to wear it on my heart. Now you come here with your, the nation's flag from where you come from, and you don't want to salute this flag. You don't care about this flag. You don't, you want all the benefits, but you don't want to respect anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. You know? But that's just what we live in. You know, it's nice to see these stories where people go, come on, sit with us, man. What's going on? My name's Tyrone, man. What's up? So why are you alone, man? You old, man. Where's your husband, man? Where's your pops? What's up? And then when they find out what's going on, you know, they didn't have to do that. That probably, where I work, I took a lady. I just felt led. And of course, thank you up there. This is the man upstairs. I felt led. I just went over this lady. She was standing next to the concierge. And of course, we had on a Sunday brunch and that jazz people playing away, and they got like the saxophone and the guitarist or the clarinet. He plays clarinet on Sunday. And I said, and I just grabbed her and we danced for like a minute. And she was in tears because I haven't since, it's been so long since the guy has done that to me. That was the great you have. And she was in tears of joy. Just that little bit made that big of a difference. Like Matthew West said, I shook my fist to heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you. That's why I have this program. Do stuff. Do stuff, man. I got a support group. That keeps me busy in a one-arm picker hanger with a social problem. That's what my dad Larry always told me. I worked with had the same name as my biological dad. I was calling him Dad. And I said, Larry, well, you're as helpful as a sump pump in the desert. He goes, okay. Well, just so that you know, man, I do more in accident on 5 minutes than most people do on purpose all day long. We always had little one-liners. But, you know, everybody influences you. Everyone has an impact on your life. Everyone, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, even if a negative person says, oh, you enter, get out of here, get out of my country. Well, man, guess what? He impacted you because you know, hey, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to stand up because that's not how you do it, man. I got your back, man. Don't listen to that fool. That fool, nuh-uh. We all bleed the same color. I'll bet you. I'll go up to that guy. I got $1 million bet, man. Let me cut you and I'll cut myself and we'll see. I bet you $100. I bet you $1,000 we bleed the same color. I win every time. Because that's just where we live in, man. Got about 9 minutes left in the program, folks, and I'm going to kind of switch gears. I want to thank you so much for tuning in now for all you out there that listen around the world or wherever. It's some English Premier League time and... and everyone's talking about Manchester United, and you know we lost 2-0 to City in the derby. And what do I think about it? What are my thoughts? And you know, and of course, my producer has thoughts, and her thoughts aren't wrong, and my thoughts aren't right. It's opinions. We all have them. You know, even some of the greats like Gary Neville and Roy Keane, sometimes I'm like, man, wrong. You know, we don't have leadership to begin with. There's no one that's, give me the captain's armband. I will turn this team around on the pitch. I will be the model. I will step up. I will lead by example. I don't see anyone that's the Roy Keane that takes his shirt off, rips out his heart, and puts his jersey on. And then if someone gets hurt on the pitch, whatever, Kate puts his heart back in for a little bit. You okay? And now the heart comes back out. And he's sitting there, and he's got like he's got his whole head bandaged up because he's got a concussion, but he's still up there playing and giving his heart 100% and still getting a hat trick. You don't see that. I mean, there's evidence that Icardi might be in a swap deal from Inter Milan for Lukaku. That would be awesome. Because there's several media outlets reporting this. Very credible ones. And that would be awesome because it would be a swap deal. No, hey, that would be getting someone out and someone in. And I think Icardi would be a great number 9 to back up Pogba. Pogba will be a great addition to Manchester United if we get some people to back him up. Pogba is not going to be good as a captain or a leader. But if you get people that he can back up and back him up to where they assist him and he assists them, great. But if he's the one that's like the head guy, no. If we can get the right people to play on the left and right side of him, a win-win-win. And I think this could actually come because of the sources that are out there. I think it could actually be something that's going to happen. So, I think Icardi coming for Lukaku, I think that could be a great deal. It could be a nice swap. I think the question I do have, and that's the million-dollar question everyone has, look at how when they got rid of Jose Mourinho and they took Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they dominated, and it's like they've kind of gone like 180. Like they went from being dominant to, and like what's the change? Like there's no, some people like should Ole Gunnar Solskjaer have been appointed manager at the end of the season, because it's kind of like now he's been appointed. Okay, he's now kind of let me see here. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know. Where do we go with the team? Because we were so dominant when he started. Now it's just, is he going to get the money in the transfer window to spend like we need to? He needs to come out and say, okay, this is what needs to happen. Okay, if you don't give me this, and this, Zinedine Zidane can't turn around the club. If I don't have this and this, because I guarantee you if Saddam was at the club, okay, Phil Jones would be gone. Ashley Young would be gone. Mata would be gone. This is the standards I set, just like I look at Manchester United like I do the Army. You have set of standards. To be on Manchester United's team, this is what we expect. They don't take every single person that comes into the Army, and at some point, you're going to have to say, hey, I can't be a drill sergeant anymore. I can't. My body can't do it. I can't get up at 4 in the morning and go till 1 in the morning and then sleep for 3. I can't do it anymore. There comes a time and point in your career that, okay, you can't keep up enough to be on first team. You might be a great player, but you might be a great person, but sorry. And it's just one of those things. And I think I'd take Icardi in a heartbeat. I think the problem with United is we took Zlatan Ibrahimovic. We'd have one good year out of him. Maybe two. And he didn't. And he just didn't work out. I wished I could say that Fellaini was going to dominate. The only reason I liked him was because he could sit there and he should have been red carded for the 50th time and he didn't get a penalty. Okay, that should have been because they used to have the monitor on, because I used to be able to get the British broadcasting like before they would cut the feed so you couldn't listen to him, but on like TuneIn Radio, you still listen to him. And they would have the monitor on Fellaini counter. There's about the 10th or 15th. I think we're on like the 16th foul that he should have been red carded already. And he never got away with it. He never got tagged or flagged. So I don't know. I just think we've made some great purchases that turn, like Alexis Sanchez was a great purchase, but he turned into a, he's like a firecracker that you light and you throw it and it doesn't go boom. And
honey, that's the gamble you take.
Yeah, I know. And that's the, see, but it's not like we don't watch Manchester United anymore. Like, okay, I'm done. They suck. No, I'm even more involved. I'm even more like, okay, I can't wait to see what happens. I mean, to me, it's exciting to see. I mean, it's going to be amazing because Liverpool has the potential to win their first title in the Premier League era.
Oh, wow.
Because, they won it before, but that was when it was the Premiership way back before it became the Premier League. And, you know, but it's been a long time since they've won. I mean, Lord help, I mean, I got to give it to the Scousers. You got a good team. I strongly dislike the Scousers, but hey, you know, that's the Liverpool for you. But I'm never going to, you know, I mean, I can never truly, I just dislike them. I don't use the four-letter H word because, you know, if anything ever happened, you know, because if a plane ever went down or anything ever happened, everyone would be there. We all would be having Liverpool stuff on. We'd be in solidarity if players died or anything, you know. Why can't we all be in? It's all football. It's all for fun. So people can give me crap all they want about, you know, whatever. You know, look at Sunderland. They'd die to be where Manchester United is. So I got about 90 seconds left in the program, and I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of, and I want to apologize for that little bit of glitch on the Wild Talk Radio, whatever happened, I have no idea, because somehow I lost connection, but you didn't miss much. But remember, don't shake your fist at heaven and say, God, why don't you do something? He created you. Step up and do something. Make the world a better place for me and for you and the entire human race. I was going to do something, but I got to be professional on this air. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of. And remember, folks, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until next Tuesday, good night, all. And God bless. Goodbye.